Is Mickey really as big of a deal as people say she is in Crow County?
I think they call me the Princess of Hewlett. Is that what that question was geared at? Which is completely ridiculous. But
how did you get the nickname the Princess of Hewlett?
How did I get that?
I have no idea. Is there a sash for them?
There should be.
I don't know.
A crown at least.
This is a generally accepted accounting podcast. That's GAAP for all you accounting nerds. It's a podcast produced by Casey Peterson, LTD, or a firm of CPAs and financial advisors based in Rapid City, South Dakota. We'll be talking about tax, finance, accounting, audit, and a bunch of other topics that sound really boring, but that we're going to make hip and cool. Or we'll try anyway. So stick around to learn more. What's up, GAAP fans? This is Hillary Dobbs Davis, Client Experience Manager for accounting firm Casey Peterson, LTD.
And this is Evan Lutis, the man who makes all these episodes sound so professional, we're giving NPR a run for its fundraising. Today's episode is part two of the first ever generally accepted accounting podcast, Happy Hour. We're back with the CEO and family nurse practitioner, Mickey Lyons, who heads one of our clients, Crook County Medical Services District, and her husband and our firm's managing shareholder, CPA Mark Lyons.
As you might remember, the first part was all business, specifically rural healthcare clinic business. But for the second part, we turned the Q&A mostly over to Mickey and Mark so they could quiz each other. We're not going to say chaos ensued, but the parts that we are able to release to the public are as insightful as they are entertaining.
So get yourself your own beverage of choice and listen in to learn more.
Your background is, oh my God, so impressive. There's so many nursing degrees. Holy cow. Bachelor of Science degree in nursing, Master of Science degree in nursing, a doctorate of nursing, natural health certification, all of the nursing, and then you're like, you know what I'm also going to do? I'm going to run this rural healthcare clinic. So how did that happen? Where you're like, yeah, nursing's nice, but also I need to run this joint.
Yeah, no, that was really not how that worked at all.
It wasn't just like, oh, I guess I'll have to do this all myself.
Clearly, you guys don't know what you're doing. I'm going to step in here and get
this done. That was a circumstance of timing. No. So I love nursing. Like, I've wanted to do nursing since I was in middle school. So that's always what I wanted to do. When I went back and got my doctorate, it was actually in organizational leadership. And at the time, we were having some issues in our facility with our management group. And the board chairman actually reached out to me and said, hey, like, I understand that you're getting this doctorate in leadership, and we would like you to consider, like, what is your five-year plan? Because we would like you to consider, you know, being the hometown girl that comes in and runs the rural health clinic. And I thought he was insane. Actually, I was like,
you should not drink certain coffee bowls.
I was like, what are you talking about? Like, yes, I had thought about at some point, you know, maybe doing some consulting or maybe stepping into a role like that, but certainly not at that point because I hadn't even graduated with my doctorate yet. But it just happened to be some timing, and they ended up terminating our management agreement, which terminated our CEO.
Oh.
And so they asked me to step into that interim role. And at that point, I had worked for the facility for over 10 years. And again, I mean, it's my community, it's my facility. I certainly did not want all of the people that I had worked with for 10 years to be without leadership. So I agreed. Still thought he was insane, but so they asked me to do that for 6 months. And after the 6 months, then it became a permanent thing. And now we are here 3 years later. And
yep. When you first stepped into the role, were you like, oh, whoa, okay, we're going to do this thing? Or were you like, nope, we're going to come in here, we're going to kick butt, we're going to get this going? Or was it sort of a mixture of a little bit of everything?
I think, I mean, my personality is very much like, I don't lose.
Weird, Mark, that you guys are together.
That is strange. I have a very competitive personality, so like there was no way I was going to fail.
I will succeed in a million more ways than you could even count.
Right. But at the same time, terrified because, you know, I mean, you're stepping into an office that is not yours, right? And you're now suddenly overseeing all these people that you used to work side by side with. And I can honestly say for the first month, like, I spent most of my time downstairs in the clinic in my office down there because that's what I knew.
This is
sad. And I went slowly come up to the, you know, CEO office and like put some stuff there and spend a little more time.
Put my coffee. I'm going to go back downstairs.
Right. And I'm going to go. I like spent lunch down there because those were the people that I was comfortable with. It was very interesting. But yeah.
That is awesome. That is a great story. I love that. How did you first come to work for Kirk County in the beginning? I mean, you said that you were from that area. Did you always wanted to go back and work there? Was that part of your plan as well?
Not necessarily. When I was graduating from college, an opportunity came up to take the school nurse position in Hewlett, where I grew up. And it wasn't really that I was looking for the school nurse job, but there was also no opportunity to coach. And so I ended up moving back to Hewlett. I took the school nurse position. I got to coach. I eventually became the athletic director. So I did kind of this plethora of things for like 13 years.
Scratch all the itches. You get to do nursing, also be competitive, all dry stuff.
Exactly.
So you're not competitive at all.
No.
No, not along the competitive lines. Won a state championship.
Oh. Yeah, the only state championship.
Wow. Outstanding.
Volleyball. It was awesome. So, yeah,
that's it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's how I ended up back there. But then as far as working for Kirk County Medical, right after I had my daughter, one of the other school nurses in the county said, hey, well, we need some nurses in the hospital just to work, you know, ERN. I was like, okay, sure, why not? And so I started doing that, and then eventually I was working nights and weekends, and yeah, it was actually interesting because I was going to NP school at one point, and the CEO at the time walked by one day and she said, so what are your plans when you graduate? I don't know. She's like, you want a job? I was like, sure.
Love one.
Got my NP and started working as a provider in the morgue cough. Like that's...
I've heard of failing upwards. This is succeeding upwards.
I know, right? So. Like, I've been very blessed in my life. I cannot deny that.
And then you went to working the ER like crazy. There were no providers.
Yeah. Some of our providers left, and I ended up in Sundance. And then it was me and one of the physicians, and I essentially ran the ER for 2.5 years.
Holy cow, that's got to be a lot. I bet you have stories that would, yeah.
So, but you didn't film it and we don't have any.
I should have.
Dang it.
Right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, then we know what our next podcast will be about. Stories from the rural ER.
My kids are still like, yeah, grandma raised us.
Stop.
Jeez.
Grandma. You know what? You need a little trauma to make you interesting in life. You
just I know, right? To be thankful that grandma
was there,
you know, right? Took you whenever I had to work a night shift.
You know what? Our generation, we raised ourselves, so be glad they're an adult.
Yeah.
This is probably why they make so many mistakes. Come on, Sherry.
Right?
See, grab me, Sherry.
Nah.
Hopefully you're not listening. I should have done a better nap.
If she is, I'll be very proud in the reach of our podcast.
Exactly.
So in your current role, like, how do you manage seeing patients with also all of your responsibilities of being the CEO?
Right now, it's a little different because we're a little short staff. But theoretically, I see patients 2 days a month.
Okay.
Which, for me, is enough to fill my bucket in that realm, right? So, like I said, I get the hugs when, you know, patients leave my office. They always are like, you're not leaving, right? For money. And so...
I don't know, pay your bill on time otherwise.
Right? I think being a CEO in a rural in a critical access hospital is hard because, right, like I'm the only C-suite person, right?
In probably several hundred months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of responsibility there. There's a lot of, I mean, I have a lot of direct reports. So it's hard to stay on top of all of that. But I think without that ability to kind of go back to that nursing background that I love, I'd probably go insane, quite honestly. So I think for me, that's actually cathartic because it gives me that chance to like just almost relax, honestly, and and do what I'm comfortable doing, what I feel like I'm really good at, and develop those relationships with patients and the people in the community. And so
you get to have the connections that still matter, do the things that drew you to it in the first place, keep a pulse on what's going on with care and all that sort of stuff, and right. then go back to the like, all right, and now
yep.
and now we manage all of
right.
this.
And I'm okay with managing it because I want to make sure that we continue to have the ability to provide that access to the people in our community. But at the same time, I like to have that little more personal connection.
So to redefine things here, the relaxing, low stakes part of your job is just the one where you're dealing with people's lives.
Correct.
That's good.
Correct.
Good to know. Good to know.
I'm good at that part.
You can't get imposter syndrome when I'm saving your life.
Right?
I'm like,
I got time for this. What is the best part of your job? So is it the nursing piece of things? Is it just managing and knowing that you're keeping a rural healthcare facility in this area? Or is it like a combination of all of the stuff or something completely different?
I think it's twofold. I mean, I think there's definitely that piece of those connections with patients and those relationships that you develop with people and know that you're helping them in an area that they need assistance and that they look to you to, you know, for advice. I mean, I have patients all the time. I send them to specialists and they will call and be like, so the specialist wants me to do this, but I want to make sure you're okay with it first. What? I sent you to cardiology for a reason, and now you're making sure that I'm okay with it. Like, I'm a nurse practitioner in rural Wyoming,
but sounds good.
We have the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a huge piece, is that they trust me, literally trust me with their lives, and they will do whatever I recommend they do,
right.
Which is frightening in itself, but right. there's something about that that's
it's nice cool, to be, right? I'm sure it has to be nice to be able to reassure them of, yes, what the highly trained specialist said,
yes,
sounds like really great advice, yes. And you should for sure do that.
You should do that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Definitely.
Exactly. But then there's this whole other piece, like, of managing, you know, 150 employees and, you know, an entire organization, and just making sure that, one, the employees that I've worked side by side with for the last 15 years, you know, have what they need to do their jobs, but that we can also create these great service lines in this organization for our community that people want to come to. So, I mean, I think there's two pieces of that.
Yeah, that's so, kind of the best of both worlds.
Right. Yeah. Some of it's more frustrating than others, but
it probably switches day to day sometimes,
right,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. You've got to get the patient sometimes where you're like, no, I'm not sure why I'm doing any of this.
You're what I spent one of my 2 days this month?
Oh, all right. Hold on. I'm just going to go ahead and question my life choices.
That's not.
So, yeah, let's talk about that drive from Rapid City to Sundance. What's that like almost every day of your life in winter, summer, spring, high inhale season? How's that for you?
I can honestly say Audible is the greatest thing I've ever subscribed to.
We're not sponsored yet.
Not yet, though. But hey, Audible, hey, if you're listening.
But we could be, because.
If you're listening, I'm just saying,
right?
We're available.
That's perfect segue.
It's like,
okay. How many Audible books a month do you listen to, do you think?
Wow.
I mean, an hour, well, what? So an hour 15, Rapid City to Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
Hour 15 back.
Let's yep.
really want to get home. It's an hour back.
Right. No, so we're looking about 2.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
5 days a week.
Wow.
So, you know, I probably listen to, I mean, 3 or 4 10-hour books in a month.
Dang.
I've listened to well over 300 books, which is, I love to read, and I flat don't have time, so it's actually great for me, but
yeah.
I listen to inspirational books, all the things. I do lots of CMEs in the car.
Well, I do that, yeah. Again, you got some windshield time, you could do that. Yeah.
So that's good. It really is, it's interstate, so it's not that bad. I grew up in Wyoming, so I mean, I can drive on crappy roads, it's fine.
You've been watching for deer your whole life.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's part of your DNA.
Quite a few of them.
Maybe that's the better question. How many deer have you hit in that time?
You've done pretty well.
Actually,
the amount of time that you spent on the road.
No, I actually probably hit more deer when I was driving back and forth from Hewlett to Sunbelt.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could see that. That rural, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst time of year to be making that commute? Is it rallied?
No.
No, really.
Other than this year, usually February is the worst. But February hasn't been anything, which actually terrifies me because March could be bad. But
yeah, it's usually there's a reckoning coming.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really not that bad. I mean, some days it takes me 2 hours to get to work, but you just drive slow and whatever.
I thought you were going to ask.
You have 45 more minutes with your book.
You know, I thought you were going to ask what the worst deer was that she hit, because I know the answer to that.
Oh.
So we went down and picked up a new car in Denver one weekend, and Mickey's funny because she doesn't like to drive car. Like, she would go in a lot, pick out a car, and have it towed home, and then drive it. She doesn't test drive cars.
You just look at it and be like, that's the one I want.
That's the one,
but it's fine.
So I drove the car all weekend, drove it back from Denver. She gets in and on Monday morning, gets to work just fine. On the way home, hits a deer.
No.
Yeah.
Had the car for 3 days.
Driving a brand new car.
Yeah, I drove it.
Oh, no.
It was awesome.
What car was it?
It was my black Mercedes.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I was not happy.
Oh,
yeah. I felt bad because one of my coworkers was behind me and she pulled over and she was like, are you okay? And I was just cussing up the storm. She's like,
she's kicking the deer.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I'm sorry.
And she's ripping pieces off her brand new car to get back to town so they're not dragging on the ground.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Was it fixable or did it total it?
Oh, it was fixable, but. Wow.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't matter. Three-day-old car, hit it here right away.
3 days?
3 days.
Really?
No. That's Insta rage right there.
Yeah, I was not a lady that day.
I think you had a good reason not to be a lady that day. All right, we have these questions. These are for Mark, for Mickey, and then we have questions for Mark from Mickey. So we're gonna let you guys work this one out.
I did not even practice these.
That's all right. I don't feel like they need practice. I think you can read them right off that sheet there.
We'll be the peanut gallery.
Yeah. Here. Just drinking.
So are we on questions? Mark is going.
Yep, that one. Yep, the one where your name is all in caps. And just so we're clear.
Is Mickey really as big of a deal as people say she is at Crow County?
I think they call me the Princess of Hewlett.
That question was geared at.
Which is completely ridiculous. But
how did you get the nickname the Princess of Hewlett?
How did I get that
name? I have no idea. Is there a sash for them?
There should be.
I don't know. A crown at least.
Right? Yeah.
So it sounds like the answer to that is yes, then, I think.
She's
the answer
pretty big
is
deal.
Yes.
I'm a super big,
pretty
deal.
Big deal. My God.
I haven't seen that Disney movie yet.
I think it's one of their lesser known ones. It might be Pixar. I'm not sure.
Right.
DreamWorks. It's like Frozen, but the third one, Princess and Hewlett. I think I don't.
It still could be Frozen, depending on the month.
It could be.
And then we have, how many lives do you save in a week? Do you ever feel like you're playing God's job?
I just got done saying I was good at my job.
But are you good at God's
job? But are you doing God's job? I'm saving lives. Come on.
No, that is quite the burden. You're running a hospital, seeing people in the clinic, and playing God's job. I mean, those are big shoes.
Right? It's a huge burden. I'm not sure how I carry it, but
here we are.
I'm trying my darndest.
It's this last one, though, that I'm really looking forward to.
This one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you ever would have accomplished your star power had we not met?
Wow. I feel like everything I have ever accomplished is due to you.
Oh! Wow.
We have that.
You have that. You have it on tape. That is recorded. Yeah. You should probably have it made it to your ringtone.
I was just going to say, can I'll put it out of my ringtone?
Right.
Yep.
I feel like you should statement that out and just like plaster it everywhere.
So maybe we can have it printed on like an inspirational poster or something like that. And we'll have Vicky sign it.
Good God.
You're welcome.
I was honestly expecting. I can't believe I've accomplished what I have despite meeting you.
Questions
for Mark. Ken, in working with other rural healthcare facilities like CCMSD, what's the biggest challenge from the accounting side?
This is so serious.
Yeah, no, we went from a lot of fun to just...
You can say Medicare Advantage plans.
Yeah, we haven't even
Medicare Advantage plans. I don't feel like this has a great answer, because I feel like they're all so unique that, I mean, you're dealing with similar things, but everybody has different strategies and understanding those strategies and trying to figure out how we fit into those, I think is probably one of the biggest challenges.
So it's almost like it's the personalized nature of it cannot be one size fits all. It has to be your unique situation.
Right.
And that's not just like a, it's not a tax return. It's not 1040. It's every clinic, even if you're facing the same situations and stuff, still requires a different approach.
Right.
Because every clinic's going to be structured a little differently. They're going to have a different strategic plan, staffed differently.
I think actually, as I've thought about that a little bit more, I think probably one of the biggest challenges is just the ups and downs. Like when it's good, it's good.
Right.
When it's bad, it's bad. And there's rarely anything in between. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Like when things are going really well financially, you feel like you're on this path that's never going to end. But then it eventually ends for whatever reason. So just the highs and the lows of it, I think, are probably the most challenging. And every one of them, whether you're doing really well, there's a different management that comes to that in terms of making sure that you're going to try to carry that as long as you can. But then when things start turning south, because they always do, because there's always so much turnover, you have agency staff that come in and can eat up all of the cash reserves that you built over the last 6 months or year in a very short period of time. And then all of a sudden you're in this situation where it's like, how are we going to make it through the next 6 months? And that's the volatility of rural healthcare, I think.
There's never a like even keel kind of thing where we're doing okay. We're just kind of going along. It's either we're at the very top of the mountain or we are.
Do you agree? Like, I feel like we come home some days and we're like, this was so awesome. We accomplished this. Like, I'm the best thing that's ever happened. And then you come.
What's your favorite part?
And then you go to work the next day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you won't believe what happened today. And I don't know what to do with this situation. And we have a lot of table talk. And there's a lot of things that we've come up with that I think both of us have probably been able to incorporate into our lives that kind of keep you level-headed. Like, it's funny because, like, I always come home and I'm like, try to think of an example of something that was just terrible that happened at work today. And Mickey will come home and she's like, man, this guy that was our neighbor growing up, like, I had to tell him he had cancer today. I'm like, oh, my day wasn't so bad.
My Excel spreadsheet crashed, so
yeah.
Well, we have this program, and
we have this program.
It doesn't work a lot.
But for it, like, there's perspective in that, yeah, right, of like, and what we do is important, but
it is not life or death.
It's not life or death. It's a stressful thing for people. Finances are very stressful for people, but I don't think it's the top of their list of things that.
Not like that, not like...
People fear.
Right.
People like fear their health.
Can't worry about finances if you're dead.
Just gonna right.
I don't think I can.
But there you go. We really appreciate
you. Just learn while we're here.
Getting all down to the... Just getting right to the heart of it. That's very...
Where's the lie?
But I think, I mean, from the accounting side, though, like, every facility is similar, but every facility is super different. You have different levels of leadership in every facility, and depending on, you know, you go into a facility and you give them all the recommendations from a financial standpoint, like, this is what you need to do, and if people don't follow that, bad things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll give you all the kudos there, like, that's what happens. And but if you have a facility that is willing to take your recommendations, and 9 times out of 10 that works out really well. And so I think for you, from an accounting perspective, like, that to me would have to be the challenges is, you know, we recommended that you guys do this and they didn't do this. And now we're in this situation and you have to deal with the executives and the board and explain why this happened. why do you owe $1 million back to CMS? Well, because we told so-and-so to do this, and they chose not to.
Yeah, that's a major challenge for sure.
Yeah.
And even sometimes when you think you have the best plan, there's just so many variables. Sometimes it doesn't play out the way you think it's going to. And
nursing,
you know, if we could just control when people get sick and how often they get sick.
Wouldn't that solve so much?
But unfortunately, you really don't know when people are going to have a need.
It's not like anything you can chart. You know, you can't look at trends necessarily and be like, well, we saw a lot of sprained ankles last month, and so we think this month we're going to be up again. No, it does not work that way.
If we knew five people in the nursing home were going to pass away and that four of the CNAs were going to leave and we would have to hire travelers.
No, how would you ever?
But those are the things.
Right.
And very unpredictable.
Right?
Yeah.
Was there ever a point when staffing was just like level enough to not really? Yeah, okay, I didn't think so. I know it's been a problem in healthcare for a long
time. I don't think it existed prior to COVID.
Right.
It surely didn't exist during COVID. And I actually think it's worse post-COVID.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, though, in the workplace overall, like the pendulum swing. Like, so you go through a major thing like the pandemic, right? And people are like, wow, I was just faced with my own death and the possibility. And I stared death in the face and there was that like looking at me. And now I'm not sure how important work is, right? So it used to be like, well, we're Americans. We kind of define our whole, or a big part of our personality by what we do for a living. Well, maybe it's not that. And so it feels like the pendulum swung way far the other direction. I'm like, no, I don't think this is important at all. And I just want to do whatever I want to do. And I think part of that is, too, is like you felt like a knee-jerk reaction to a lot of big corporations treating employees really poorly for a long time. And then everybody felt that. And then it was like they looked at all employers, regardless of what they were trying to do, as the same thing, instead of being like, well, not everybody is Amazon making you pee in a bottle in it. So maybe, you know, context is important. So, yeah.
During tax season, I don't know. I've heard stories.
I know. Sometimes they look like they might have to.
On that question of, like, what do you wish you could help more of these facilities with? I think you and I have talked about this. It's not necessarily what I could help them with. But if I could choose to do more of something, it would be, like Mickey says in the clinic, there's something fulfilling about boots on the ground, being there in the trenches with people. And if I could do one additional thing for facilities that we work with, it would be to just spend time with them. And when I say spend time, I'm talking being there on site, interacting with their people, because they're all such great people. And it's twofold. It's like, it's not just because I want to be there and help them, but the learning that occurs when you're working there face to face with people. I think I probably learn just as much as I hope they do. Yeah. So if there's one thing that I wish that I could do more, it would be if I could spend 2 days a week out in the facilities, talking to people, working with people, getting to know them, understanding better, like why the ridiculous recommendations I make are not realistic. It would be helpful.
What do you mean you can't do? Oh, that's why you can't do that. Well, okay, I get it.
But you need to figure it out.
This is the best path forward. This is why I recommended it. Figure it out. I'll tell you. So is there ever a time, you obviously have like the client relationship and you go home and you have kids to raise and a life to live and you're still talking about work and you're like, all right, that is enough. Or is it just interwoven with everything between.
Is this you guys all the time?
Yeah.
Or is there a version of you where you're not talking about work?
I actually feel like this is all the time, but the funny thing about it is our kids hate it. So the other day.
So you should definitely do it forever then.
I know, right? The other day.
It'll keep them like coming home.
I hate it when you guys, like, all you do is talk about work. That's why I go downstairs and I go to my room, because you guys start talking about work and I don't want to listen to it.
Okay.
Oops. Yes, it worked.
Little did you know that was our plan all along.
Right. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right. Peace out. Enjoy.
We talk about it a lot.
We do.
A lot. I think it's funny because I remember early in my career when I started doing what I do, I would see tons and would have no understanding of what that means from an operational perspective, and just the amount that I've learned from Mickey and being able to take the financial piece and connect it with what's actually happening has definitely made me better. And I think we're so passionate about what we do that we never really get tired of talking about it. But not just on the healthcare side, but on the leadership side too. It's so challenging, and nobody will ever have all the answers when it comes to leadership, because every situation is unique. But the amount of time that we spend just talking about leadership stuff, and have you ever seen this situation? How do you address this? I mean, it's pretty cool to have somebody to come along and bounce things off of, because there's a saying that it's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
It's super lonely at the top. Mm-hmm. So to be able to come home and have somebody that you can relate to with all the challenges and frustrations, and then having somebody that truly was like, yeah, like, been there. I know how frustrating it is. And even then to give suggestions of, to either tell me that I'm overreacting or this is like, you're wrong. You need to go fix it.
But that's the beauty, right? Is, I mean, when you have these questions like, man, I have to have this really hard conversation with an employee. And it's great when my first thought is, when I get home tonight, I'm going to ask for your opinion, because like, I feel like I'm going to get a great answer and some assistance in how I need to handle that. And not, I mean, it's not that I'm just coming home and complaining, but I don't have to like try to find someone that's in a similar situation that I can like get advice from. Like, I can just come home and say, hey, I have to have this conversation with this employee and I'm stressed out about it. Like, this is what I'm thinking. You know, what are your suggestions? And I know that I'm going to get a good answer.
Yeah. And someone that's not going to just like tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
Someone who's going to tell you the truth.
Right.
Or like you say, this is what I'm thinking of saying, and they're going to be like,
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can have that conversation and be like, yeah, no, I would not approach it that way.
That's an interesting tact.
But I would suggest.
Right. And chances are, if you're bringing a situation to the other for the first time, the other one's probably had that situation.
It happens a lot. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys think that you spend more time talking about rural healthcare or more time talking about leadership issues?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah,
like pick one. No, I feel like we're in very similar situations. You know, I mean, we're both in leadership roles. We both have similar employee issues or, you know, management issues. But then we're also always kind of talking about rural health, like you talked about, like, you know, I've helped you with the clinical aspect of that. You've helped me with the financial aspect of that. So where I didn't have the financial background to be a CEO, like, I feel like I have some great knowledge now, and vice versa. So I think it works.
You guys kind of lucked out that way.
I know, right? It's like, hey.
Would you like to set me with that? Oh, that was a nice moment.
No,
I don't know anything with. Nope, yeah, nothing.
Doom and gloom, you want to
bring that down?
I would say there's one place where we never talk about leadership stuff or healthcare stuff, and it's when we're on the lake.
Yeah.
Like, it never gets brought up.
Right.
When we go to the lake for the weekend.
So what do you guys talk about when you're on the lake?
We don't.
You know, you just sit there and stay at the lake?
We just soak in the sun and drink.
Well, that's what lakes are for.
So. Yeah, I know, right?
Fair enough.
Like, all right. But, yeah, so that's fair.
There's usually so many people around, and the kids are, like, all wound up, and, like, it's just fun.
We just don't.
Hopped up on that fruit pizza.
Fruit
pizza. Right?
Fruit pizza and EpiPens.
It's
love it. Like, you wouldn't have to make the boy a fruit pizza.
I'm going to have to like it. Yeah. Right? Yeah, like.
And now the legal stuff. This podcast and associated communication are intended to provide general information about tax, finance, investment, and other financial matters. Although KC Peterson LTD has made every reasonable effort to ensure that the information provided is accurate, we make no warranties expressed or implied. Be aware that this is not a comprehensive analysis of the subject matter covered. It is not intended to provide specific recommendations to you or your business. Investment advisory services are offered through Avantix Planning Partners. Commission-based securities products are offered through Avantix Investment Services. Member FINRA SIPC. Insurance services are offered through licensed agents of Avantix Planning Partners, 3200 Olympus Boulevard, Suite 100, Dallas, Texas, 75019. The Avantix entities are independent of and unrelated to CPS Financial Services, LLP. Although Avantix does not provide or supervise tax or accounting services, our financial professionals may offer these services through their independent outside business. Not all financial professionals are licensed to offer all products or services. Financial planning and investment advisory services require separate licenses.
Hey, Hillary.
Hey, Evan.
Did you hear about the guy who lost feeling in the left side of his body?
I did not.
He's all right now.